Joining us right now from the party of all golf parties, the 32nd annual Myrtle Beach World Amateur Handicap Championship. Well, we've got Tim King on, and I'm excited to hear what happened. This thing just drew to a close. It's still on my bucket list. Thanks for joining us. I can imagine you're pretty tired.
Yeah, it is a long, exhausting week, but it is also a great one and certainly a memorable one. It's, you know, for your listeners who may not be familiar with the event, it's a 72-hole net stroke play event with 3,400 players from 28 countries participating. So it's truly a celebration of the game.
Well, okay, so it really is a celebration of the game from top to bottom because it's a handicapped championship. You drew, and I'm sure you know the exact number. Goodness knows how many players from around the world, how many different countries, everybody coming in. The playing field is leveled by handicaps. And you know, how did it end? I saw who won. He's a man from Richmond, Virginia, who had a great net, but I'm not sure what his gross score was to take the individual championship.
Well, yeah, his gross score is a gentleman named Tae Kim from Richmond, Virginia. He shot a gross 85 yesterday, and he won what we call our world championship out at the Dye Club at Barefoot Resort. But what really happens in the event is there are 3,400 players that participated, and they are when you sign up or register to participate, you are placed into flights based on age, handicap, and gender, and you'll be playing with people throughout the week. We had a total of 72 flights. You play with people of very similar skill levels, and after four rounds, all flight winners and ties advanced to what we call our World Championship Playoff, which took place yesterday. And that's an 18-hole shootout where we crown our champion.
So, all right. So, how would you rate this against prior, versions of this? I mean, bigger, smaller, different. I know you had John Daly out in the 19th hole. Wynn McMurray was out in the world's largest 19th hole. How would you rank this year's event compared to others?
In terms of size, it was very similar to what we had last year. As a matter of fact, it was almost dead even. We've enjoyed an uptick in participation in recent years. But it is, just as it relates to everything that we have, it was a very, I don't want to say typical because there's nothing typical about this event, but it was another fun, good time outing. You kind of touched on John Daly, and we had Wynn McMurray here this year as well. I mean, we've talked about some of the golf so far, but the other half of the fun of the event is the world's largest 19th hole is what we call it. Each night, the tournament takes over the Myrtle Beach Convention Center, and we have 120,000 square feet of just about anything golf you can imagine. There's a 60 exhibitor golf expo. There's Charlie Reimer from the Golf Channel was there. McGinnis and Kate Jerko and Tap from Sirius XM Radio Show was there. Daly was there signing autographs, serving drinks. We have live entertainment there for you. Your listeners may be familiar with former American Idol winner Taylor Hicks. He played one night. Daly's band for the John Daly cocktail was there. I mean, it's a 5-day party is what it is.
Well, it's
all based around golf.
Yeah, and we're talking to Chris King from the World Am down in Myrtle Beach. When does planning start for next year?
Well, I'll tell you what, for the guys primarily responsible for that stuff, it will begin in about 2 weeks.
Ooh.
They will they'll take Monday off for Labor Day, and then they'll get right back in Tuesday. And I mean, the evaluation process of this year's event begins. I mean, it's a full-time job and a 12-month-a-year job. They'll start evaluating this year. We'll send out a player satisfaction survey, and we'll give the people who participated the chance to have their voice heard, we get those results back and then immediately begin, kind of digesting those, seeing what's in there, what we can change, what we can make better, what we want to add. And then, the remainder of the year is spent, preparing for the 2016 event. And, then we do run other events. There's an event we have in the fall. We have one in February, one in March. I mean, our events division is really the job that those guys do is incredible. Just, organizationally and the types of events they put on. So it is, there's no rest for the weary.
Yeah, and I imagine you'll get 3,400 positive responses and to that survey, and there's probably some folks who make good suggestions that being on the ground every day you don't really think about. How do we get our listeners to understand that, you know, the field is not too big. We want to continue to grow the event, and that this is something that, you know, if you're a golf nut and you're, you know, reasonably talented and play often enough to feel good about your game, that you need to get down there and do it next year for the 33rd annual.
Yeah, well, you know, the easiest way to start is by going to the tournament website. It's at www.myrtlebeachworldamateur.com. But, you know, I think the, you know, really the most important thing to know is, you know, you talked about if you were good enough or you feel, you know, good about your game. I mean, really all you have to do is have a valid USGA handicap to get started. You don't have to be a great player to participate. And that's kind of the beauty of the event. I mean, there were people in here who there were plus threes that came to the event this year.
Wow.
We recently created a gross division, and you know what? We'll have people who are playing at 34.
Yeah.
Now, the beauty of it is that these people don't play together. And that's kind of the one thing to understand. I mean, people tend to think of it as, hey, there's a 3,400-person golf event. How's that work? Well, it is a 3,400-person event, but because of the way we flight players that I talked about a little while ago, you really, once you get on the course, there are 72 flights. There are approximately 50 people in each flight. So once you get into that 72 holes of stroke play, you really think of it more in terms of, hey, I'm in a 50-person event.
Mm, right, right, right.
And then if I win my 50-person event, then I graduate to face all the other flight winners. If that makes sense.
No, it does. So, it does.
So, you know, I mean, that's kind of the way it is. You find your group there, and you know what? You play with different people each day. You play on different Myrtle Beach golf courses each day. And, you know, by the time you get to Wednesday and Thursday, you're playing with people of comparable scores. So, you know what? It gives you that kind of that experience of what it's like to be a professional golfer.
Right,
you know,
right,
there
right.
aren't many events for amateurs where you get to sleep on a lead.
Well,
you know, where you have to think about what you're doing. So it's really one of the charms of the event.
Yeah, we got to get people out there. You got to say, you know, this is on your bucket list, and it's one that's fairly easy to check off here in the Carolinas. So Chris, hopefully we'll be back partnered with you guys next year, and, you know, we'll get people out there to see it. And thank you so much, and thank you for your hard work and preparation, and enjoy a couple of weeks of downtime.
Hey, we're gonna try to. We'll look forward to talking with you next year. And again, just have your listeners check out www.myrtlebeachworldamateur.com. Actually, if you go up there now, you can listen to John Daly singing "Knocking on Heaven's Door" at the world's largest 19th hole. We've got video of that up there. So
sweet,
it's a good time, and it'll give you a flavor for this year's event, and hope you start looking forward to next year.
All right, Chris, we'll do that. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon.